Well, good morning, Orangewood. It is great to see you and our kids as they head off to O-Kids. Great to be together for worship this Sunday. And if you're a guest with us, I am really glad that you're here. We are beginning a new sermon series today I'm really excited about called Jonah, Arise and Go. And we're going to be looking at this Old Testament prophet named Jonah from the Old Testament and how the word of the Lord came to him. Jonah, arise and go. And what does that mean for us today? That the word of the Lord comes to us, Orangewood, arise and go. Out of the sheer grace of the gospel as my people into Orlando. And we talk here at Orangewood, one of our values is 168 living. This idea that we seek to glorify and enjoy God, not just on Sunday morning for an hour, but that all of our life in our work, rest, and play is part of living out this gospel. We're sent as God's people to announce his kingdom and reign. And so as we engage in this series, we have this reality of what we want to come back to over and over is what we're calling our Arise and Go challenge cards. So on your way out the door, there will be these little cards. And what I'm going to ask you to do is you to grab one and don't look at it first. Because I want you to go, oh, well, that one seems comfortable and convenient. I'll do that one. I want you to just grab the first one that you got. I've already got mine today. And these are just going to be really simple, practical ways for us to follow Jesus in everyday life this week. Some of them will say, arise and go meet your neighbor. Arise and pray for someone in your life. Arise and encourage a stranger. But the goal would be that through this series, we're going to step out into the obedience of following Jesus and to take these opportunities as invitations as God's word to us, just like Jonah. And maybe through this series, we would say to God, here I am, Lord. I will arise and go in your name. Would you stand this morning for the reading of Scripture? If you have a Bible, we will be in Jonah chapter 1, or if you have a Bible app, Jonah chapter 1. If you're here and you have no idea where Jonah is in the Bible, that is okay. I struggle to find it as well. I have found when in doubt, there is always the table of contents. So use that as a reliable source if you need this morning. But I encourage you, actually, we're going to be going through the book of Jonah for the next 7 weeks, working verse by verse through this whole book. So I encourage you to bring a Bible if you have one. If you don't have one, we have some in our lobby. And it's just a great opportunity to just see where we are and what we're working through. Maybe one of your challenges will be arise and go read the book of Jonah this week. We receive this as God's word to us this morning. And before we hear from God's word, I'd like to take a moment and just a moment of silence with us here with God to calm our hearts and be present to the reality that God is here with us through Christ and his Holy Spirit. So let's take a moment of silence. Father, as we open your word to us, may we sense the presence of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you speak in and through and over and around my words to accomplish your mission that we may see Jesus this morning? And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1. You can follow along on the screen as I read as well. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Take a seat. Well, this morning, as we look at the story of Jonah and his life in this moment in the story, I'd like to talk to you this morning about when God interrupts our plans. When God interrupts our plans. In 1807, Napoleon Bonaparte, a very well-known voice at that time, he was coming into extreme power. At this point, he's at the height of his rule in France. He has conquered neighboring countries and cities. He has renamed borders in Europe. He has struck fear into the heart of neighboring countries of what might happen next. And after one conquest, Napoleon wanted to celebrate with his troop, with his leaders. And so he called them all to his house in 1807, and he instructed his team, his servants, to go purchase some rabbits for a rabbit hunt. In my honor, in their honor, because of the victories that we've just had. But the craziest thing happened, this is a true story, in 1807, at the height of his career, where everyone was afraid and fearful of Napoleon Bonaparte, as the rabbits were released for their hunt, they did not run. They only ran straight towards Napoleon and his men, scaring them away into carriages, running into their shoes, striking fear into them. It was this reality that Napoleon didn't realize, that when he sent out his servants to purchase the rabbits, they didn't go and get wild rabbits that would run at the sight of humans. They went to a farm and purchased the rabbits because there the rabbits view humans as someone who will provide me food. And so there's Napoleon as they're released, and next thing you know, the rabbits are running at him, and he is beyond bewildered at the surprise and change of plans. The greatest general of this time, conquering nations, military genius, was forced to retreat from rabbits. I love this story because it reminds us all, life never goes as planned. We map out strategies, we assume we know where we're going, we assume we know what we're supposed to do, until right in that moment, bam, we are reminded we are not in control. Something comes into our life unexpected that humbles us, and our plans begin to collapse. Maybe this morning you've been there. The job that you thought was going okay no longer is. The relationship that you thought was stable is withering away. You thought life was going smoothly, and in a moment, God interrupted. One thing I've found actually through the years being a pastor is how many people in the church actually long to hear from God. They say, "Gosh, I just wish I knew what God wanted me to do.
I wish God would just tell me what to do. I pray, God, what do I do in this situation? Maybe you've done that before. God, should I take this job? Should I marry this person? God, what should I do in this moment? I've found through the years that people will say to me, I wish God would just speak to me. Some will say it this way. They'll say, I wish God just would put it on a billboard. I would know what to do. But what happens when God does speak, when God does declare, but it's not what you wanted? It's not where you wanted to go. That's the story of Jonah. Jonah is a prophet at this time. He is living in Israel. He's living comfortably there. In this moment, gets a message. God speaks to him and says, arise and go to Nineveh. And in a moment, Jonah's plans are shattered. He's a trained prophet. He's actually part of a lineage of prophets that had studied under Elijah. Jonah had spent his life wondering, God, what do you want me to do? He said to God, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And then God spoke. Arise and go to Nineveh. And then Jonah said, try again, Lord. Your servant is listening. The question for us this morning is, how do we respond in life when God interrupts our plans? And the first thing we really see as a truth to guide us from this passage, we see God's interruptions reveal his heart. Look at what God says to Jonah in verse 2. He says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. It'll be really hard for us to understand the implications of those words to Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh, if we don't have some context on Nineveh. Nineveh was a massive empire city at the time of Jonah's life. They were considered one of the greatest armies and enemies against Nineveh. In fact, now archaeologists have dug and they have found the walls that were part of the structure and support to protect Nineveh, and they were able now to assess that this was a massive city with massive power. It was a city of great power. But not only was it a city of great power, it was a city of great evil. In fact, in Jonah 1 and verse 2, it says that God speaks to Jonah and says, go to Nineveh, the great city, for their evil has come up to me. What we've learned is the incredible evil and wickedness that Nineveh led with as they conquered. Not to be too graphic this morning, but when they would move in and conquer a city, they would sexually abuse the women. They would kill the children. Anybody who they left alive, mainly the soldiers, they wanted them to be tortured, and so they would skin them off their body and bury them in the sand. And as they lay dying, they would pull out their tongue and drive a stake through their tongue so that they would experience the most gruesome torture of death possible. And God says to Jonah, I want you to arise and go to Nineveh. I want you to go and preach repentance to them. I want you to go and tell them that my mercy can cover them. And see, this morning we probably could imagine just how Jonah felt to receive that call and that message, and why we would probably want to run as well from our enemies. Someone here this morning may be a Florida Gator fan. Sorry, by the way. God says to you this morning, arise and go to Tallahassee. And your response as a Gator fan is, Lord, did you say Tallahassee? For the record, I have no dog in this fight. Like, there's enough things for all of you to work out. I'm not from here. But what if God was sending you someplace or to someone that was way more personal? Arise and go. Bring God's mercy to the boss that fired you. Arise and go to the other student that slandered your name behind your back. Arise and go to the person that betrayed you. To the person that hurt you. Very quickly, I hope you're experiencing this. I'm experiencing it in my own soul. It becomes very, very hard to receive that word from God. I know exactly what Jonah is feeling in that moment. And like Jonah, you might be tempted to run as well. Jonah was sent to Nineveh, which was east of Israel, about 550 miles. But instead of receiving the call, he goes to a place called Tarshish, which is really hard to say, which is in the exact opposite direction west, think Spain, 2,500 miles from where he is standing. He wants to get as far away as possible from this call upon his life. God will interrupt your plans. You can count on it. The gospel comes and calls us out of comfort and ease and honestly just loving the people we think are lovable. The people that maybe think like us or act like us or look like us. I love the way Anne Lamott put it. She said this: you can safely assume you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates all the same people you do. God sends an interruption. And the interruption wasn't random. It was an interruption for them, for Jonah, to see and for God's heart to be revealed that no person is far from receiving his grace, even the ones Jonah hated. That no one was too far away from God's relentless mercy, including the people of Nineveh, including the people that you might be thinking of right now. So the next time God brings an interruption into your life, instead of asking why God, maybe ask who God. Why is this interruption being brought in my life? Who do you want me to love and to serve and to bless? Who are you sending me to in my life? So this passage reveals God's heart to us, his relentless mercy to remind all of us this morning that no matter what has happened, no matter if you feel like a Ninevite this morning, God's mercy can come to you. But the second thing it reveals is our own hearts. Our hearts are just like Jonah. Here's the second truth. Our resistance reveals our need. Notice in this passage that we read, it tells us over and over about a direction that Jonah keeps going. Jonah keeps going down. It says in verse 3, Jonah went down to Joppa. Joppa's the port city closest to Israel. In verse 5, it tells us, then he went down into the boat. He keeps going down. And for us, we may not make this connection, but in the Hebrew mind, they had a picture that you would always go up to worship God. In the Psalms, we have what are called the Psalms of Ascent. It's the Psalms that you would sing on your way up to Jerusalem, because it's on a mountain. You would go up to Jerusalem to worship. Going down in Hebrew narrative often symbolizes moving away from God. Resistance to what God is calling us to do isn't neutral. Please hear that. It is always pulling us somewhere. And so Jonah's resistance we see coming from his heart here. This fear, I don't want to go to these people. They might kill me. We see his pride. I am better than these people. Why should I go? And we see his prejudice. These are not my people. He didn't want to obey because he believed Nineveh didn't deserve mercy. And in that moment, his heart was revealed. His need was revealed for what God needed to do in his own heart. And isn't that true of us? We resist God. And when we resist him, it doesn't just show our disobedience. It's a mirror showing us what we might love more than him. Sometimes, maybe you, this is your journey. Sometimes we can have a pretty high view of ourselves and a pretty low view of others. We can deceive ourselves into thinking sometimes, maybe you, God, you probably just love having me on your team. God, God, aren't you so grateful I'm on your team? I'm here on Sunday morning at church when I could be home sleeping in my nice bed or just waiting for the start of NFL kickoff. God, aren't you so glad I'm on your team? But here's the reality. Our need is revealed to us through God's interruption. You see, when we lose the job, when we lose the baby, when things aren't going well at school, when cancer comes, in those moments, we might be tempted, like Jonah, to believe because we've been good and on the team, God somehow owes us. In those moments, those interruptions that God brings, there's a hope to reveal our hearts and our need for grace. Because if you're like me, you may respond with shaking your fist at the heavens. You owe me. Or worse, we slowly drift into apathy and indifference, and we board a ship setting sail for Tarshish.
Now, please hear me. When interruptions come, they are the most brutal thing that can come into our life, right? Devastating, heartbreaking. But the question is in those moments, underneath that, what is the posture of my heart? Do I respond saying to God, God, how can you do this after all I've done for you? God, look at me. I'm a prophet. God, look at me. I serve you. God, look, I've given to the church. I've studied your word. I've been in Bible studies and community groups. I'm serving on Sunday. I give to the church. I've fought injustice. And when those interruptions come, we will be tempted to shake our fist at God or just simply board a ship that takes us away from his presence. Our resistance is never neutral. It does something to our soul. I hope you can see that running away for Jonah is not just geographically. There's a reality in us that symbolically we can move away from God's calling on our life to be his people. And here's another reality that we see in our passage. If you want to run away from God, the devil will always provide a ship to take you. If you want to run away from God, the devil will always provide you the boat to take you in the wrong direction away from him. We will rationalize, I deserve this. We will minimize, it's not that bad. We will justify, I'm way better than them, those Ninevites, are you kidding me? But our resistance, friends, is never neutral. Each step, just like Jonah, is further down into the boat, physically and spiritually. It is the small compromises in our life that lead us down into the ship. The devil will always provide a boat to take you to Tarshish. Friends, the greatest reality for our souls this morning is to simply come clean with what we've carried inside. That we are all Jonahs in some form or fashion. Parting the world between us and them, trusting in our own way, hoping in something else other than God for life, meaning, and purpose. And then on top of it, we have the audacity to say, well, gosh, I'm so much better than them. We run, we resist, we buy tickets to Tarshish. The self-righteous say, what hope is there for Nineveh? But the simple reality is, friends, we've all boarded some ship trying to flee the presence of the Lord. And the only question that we have left for us this morning is, my goodness, how can I say what hope is there for the Ninevites? What hope is there for me? What hope is there for me? What hope is there for us? The book of Jonah is part of the overarching story that God made all things good in his image. We were created to be his people, to carry out his kingdom in this world, and we lost it. We fell into sin. Brokenness entered our world. Jonah knew that. Jonah lived it out. We've lived it out. And ever since the beginning, we've been longing for the story to bring itself to culmination. We've been longing for all things to be made right and to be seen. What hope is there for us? We need a greater Jonah who would come for each of us. In Matthew 12, Jesus is standing in a crowd of people, and they have asked him for a sign. How do we know that you are the true King and Lord of the world? How give us a sign so that we know you are who you say you are. And this is Jesus' response. He says this, "But Jesus answered them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.'" Jonah is pointing each of us this morning to our great need that is solved and redeemed in the greater Jonah who came in Jesus. Think about it this way. Jonah received a call from God. He ran from God because he did not want to go to his enemies. I can't go to them. But what we learn in Romans 5 is that Jesus, it says, demonstrated his great love for us in that while we were still enemies with God, Christ died for us. Jonah received a call, and it says that he boarded a ship and went down and down and down into the heart of this ship out of his disobedience. And Jesus says, "I did the same thing. I went down and down and down into the depths of death itself, not in disobedience, but obedience, to redeem you, to save you. He took our judgment and he gave us his righteousness. He defeated the devil and his works. He was then raised in power and victory. And because of that victory, whatever interruption comes into your life, it is not the end of the story. It is the beginning of a chance for gospel obedience to walk forth in his power, in his strength. The gospel is the reminder that no matter how bad life can get in Christ, we are kept forever because he has borne our shame and rose to victory to declare the powers of darkness have lost their hold on you today by faith. That through Christ and trusting in him alone, he now has a grip on you and he has called you to himself and he will not let you go. He holds you. He keeps you. And this morning I say, thank God for that. My prayer sometimes is, Lord, just keep me. He keeps his own. As we come to communion this morning, will you receive the salvation that Christ has accomplished for you? He's exposed our need this morning. We all have been running somewhere. But more than our need, he has shown us the depths that he is willing to go to wherever you are and to wherever you've run. And he goes there to claim you back. That he says to you this morning, you are mine and I will not let you go. We are all Jonah. We've lost it all. But he's also revealed his great heart to us, that there's no limit that he will go to get you. If you're here this morning and you've actually never receive the gift of his gospel into your life, and you're wondering, what? I have been running. Tyler, I have been running. I can name that. What do I need to do? I would simply tell you this morning to receive the gift that Christ offers in himself and to pray simply to him, Jesus, would you come and take over my life?
I've been running. I've been running and I'm tired and I'm exhausted and I'm weary and I'm burdened. But I know that I can never outrun the grace that you offer today. Friends, God will interrupt your plans. It's coming. It's coming. He will ask you to go to Nineveh. He will ask you to arise and go in his power and in his name. The question is, where is he sending you? So today, will you stop running? And will you receive the greater Jonah, Jesus Christ? And by faith, make him Lord of your life. And allow him through his presence as you follow him to guide you and to lead you today and this week. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, you are the greater Jonah who went down into death for us and rose again in victory. As we come to your table, remind us that your body and your blood are our life and hope. Help us receive your grace with gratitude and to go where you send us. In the resurrected power of Christ, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen.